As you get your Bible, why don't you just turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, and I want you to turn to Luke chapter, well, I'll tell you what, let's turn to Luke chapter 11, but we're mainly going to be in Luke chapter 3 tonight, but we'll start in Luke chapter 11. I do want to say one other thing, and I'm not doing this in any way to embarrass anybody, but I just want to give God praise and glory and honor for the miracles that He is doing in the life of this church. But we have with us tonight Chris and Katrina, and they're back right there in the middle with Todd. And I want you to know, church family, that after the fellowship on Sunday, both Chris and Katrina, they surrendered their lives to Jesus. Amen. Yes. And God is just doing a work, and they said, we're ready to be baptized. So this Sunday morning, they're going to be baptized, and it's just going to be an exciting, exciting time. And so you don't want to miss what's happening at the church, okay? You don't want to miss a Sunday. You don't want to miss a Wednesday. You want to be here because, man, God is at work. And so we're thankful for that. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about prayer. And really, for the next few weeks, that's what I'm going to do. I want to talk to you a little bit about prayer. And I ask you even, how is your prayer life today? What's your prayer life like? Now, I know in my own life that I have found time and time again that prayer is hard. So let me say that up front. Don't feel bad tonight. You don't need to feel like you're being beat up or anything like that, because I have just learned in my own life that prayer is one of the hardest things there is to do in the Christian life. It just really is. I don't have all the answers as to why it is so hard. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's easy for you. But I know in my life, I have to constantly work on prayer. I have to constantly be reminded of the importance of prayer and how to pray and why I need to pray. And it's just easy to get sidetracked and forget how important prayer is. And so I ask you tonight to just consider to yourself, what is your prayer life like, because it is so important. And so I want to do a short study over the next few weeks on prayer from the Gospel of Luke. I have found, as I've studied Luke over the years, that in the Gospel of Luke, the writer here, of course, he's divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. He details for us what I believe is a great picture of the prayer life of none other than Jesus Christ. I see it time and time again that throughout the Gospel of Luke, it's like prayer and the prayer life of Jesus is really, it's almost a theme through that gospel. It's one of the themes, if you will, through the Gospel of Luke. And so we have a real familiar passage that I want to just start tonight with, but we're going to quickly move off of it. But it's Luke chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, which we know this is the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer or the disciples' prayer, or there's all kinds of titles for it. But we all know this, and but look at what it says in verse 1. It says, he was praying, that's Jesus, he was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. He said to them, whenever you pray, say, Father, your name be honored, it's holy, your kingdom come. And I didn't even need to go into verse 2, but just verse 1. It says, as he was praying. That's Jesus. And it says, as he was praying, like this is right in the middle of Jesus' ministry, that his disciples who had been with him, they had been watching him, they had been with him, they all of a sudden said, they had this question, and they said, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? Lord, teach us how to pray. Now, here's something we got to think about. What caused the disciples at this point in the ministry of Jesus, in their following Jesus, in the middle of his ministry, right? He's called them, they're following him, they've been with him. What caused them at this moment to ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray? Teach us to pray. Well, they could have asked for anything. There's so many things that they could have asked. But they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray. Jesus, how you pray, teach us how to pray like how you pray. At this point in Jesus' ministry, they've been with him. They are fully aware that there is a connection to what Jesus is doing, the power in the life Jesus is living, and the prayer life that Jesus has. Okay? That's why I believe they ask him, Lord, teach us to pray like you pray. Because they have seen that Jesus has this phenomenal, this powerful, this consistent, this awesome prayer life. And through this year and a half, however long they've been with him, they're seeing that there is this connection to what Jesus is doing and the prayer life that he has. And you're going to see, as we look at this in the Gospel of Luke, you're going to see this unfold and how they get to this point to where they say, Jesus, please, would you teach us how to pray? It's because of what they were seeing in and through the life of Jesus, but time and time again, they were recognizing that a part of this life that Jesus was living and this power that was coming through Jesus and from Jesus was this prayer life that he had, the communion that he had with his Father. Jesus, if you will, is the greatest prayer warrior that we have. I'm so thankful for prayer warriors. I know many of them that have prayed, and I know there's prayer warriors in this church. Okay? Jesus is the greatest prayer warrior. In fact, the Bible tells us he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's praying for you still today. And so today, what I want to do is I want to look at Luke chapter 3, and I want us to see how prayer moves heaven. Prayer moves heaven. This is the first time in the Gospel of Luke that we see Jesus praying. And it says in verse 21, and once again, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. But if you are like me, and maybe you're not like me, I never looked at this passage of Scripture and understood that there was anything in here having to deal with prayer. But in fact, I think it's one of the more important aspects of what Luke is telling us in this passage of Scripture. It says in verse 21, it says, when all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. As he was praying, heaven opened. I used to just read right through that. And what I would focus on was the fact that people were being baptized. Jesus also was baptized. And we know that there's importance, and we can talk about that, the importance of the baptism of Christ. And then we keep reading. It says, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in physical appearance like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. So we understand that there's so much significance in this passage of Scripture. We've got the Trinity. We have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We have all of this happening right here in this passage of Scripture. We have Jesus being baptized, and we think about how his baptism, right, is there's so much happening in there. He's identifying with us, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the God-man, who he comes, and he's sinless and he's perfect, but he humbles himself and he's baptized to identify with us. He has no sin, but he identifies with us as humanity. He demonstrates his humility as a suffering servant. He came to suffer for us and to die for us. In his baptism, we talk about this sometimes, that he gives us an example to follow, right? Jesus gives us the example of baptism. And we know that baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. And so he is here being baptized, pointing to what is going to happen in the near future. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die on the cross for our sins. He's going to be buried in the ground. He's going to be placed in the tomb. And then he's going to rise again on the third day, defeating sin, defeating death. And he's giving us all of this in this picture of baptism as he stands before this multitude of people, and he comes to John the Baptist, and John says, I'm not worthy to baptize you. And he says, well, you're going to do it because I've come here to identify with these people. I've come here to show them the example to follow. And I want to show this world that I'm going to go to the cross. I've come on a mission. I'm going to die and be crucified, but I will rise on the third day. And so we have all of that happening right here. But if we're not careful, we're going to miss what it says right before that. It says, as he was praying. Now, we don't get that in the account of Matthew. So Luke makes sure, there's a theme here in Luke. You're going to see that Luke emphasizes the prayer life of Jesus. It says, as he was praying. So he's baptized, and he's praying during this thing as well, throughout it, a part of it. After it, there's this praying that Jesus is doing. We can't overlook that. Jesus had an active prayer life. I mean, this also, we know, we call this, like, this is inaugurating his earthly ministry, right? This is the start of that 3-year ministry of Jesus. And we look to that this is where all this is beginning. Hey, let's not overlook the fact that he began this ministry praying with his Father. Jesus is a prayer warrior. And he is going to spend so much time in prayer. I'll skip ahead and just tell you that you go to Acts. And we talked about it Sunday morning. Acts is a continuation on the Gospel of Luke. Do you know where the church was born? In an upper room prayer meeting. And so we got Jesus beginning his earthly ministry, and it says, as he was praying. That's how this thing is starting. We go to Acts, and we see the church is beginning. Jesus said, I want you to go, and I want you to wait. And what did they do as they waited in Acts 1? They waited in the room, and they were just praying. I wonder why they were doing that. I'll tell you why. Because they had seen Jesus praying throughout his ministry. And they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so, hopefully I won't chase too many rabbits tonight. All right. So we can't overlook that Jesus, it was as he was praying, Jesus had this powerful, active prayer life. And I already mentioned it to you, but Hebrews tells us that even now Jesus lives to make intercession for you and me. Three things happened as he was praying. Let's look at it quickly. As he was praying, what's it say? As he was praying, heaven opened. Heaven opened. When heaven opens, it's a good thing for the children of God, isn't it? I mean, heaven is the throne of God. Heaven is the place, man, where blessings flow out. Heaven is a great place for the children of God. Good things happen when heaven opens up. I think about what it says in Malachi, where God says, he says, try me. He says, are you afraid to give? Is what he said. Are you afraid to give your money to me? Are you afraid to trust me with those things? And God's saying, if you're going to trust me with your life, can't you just trust me with your resources? He says, try me. You give to me as you're supposed to, and just look and see, and see how I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing out on you, right? Because when heaven opens up, good things happen to God's people, God's children. In Revelation, heaven opens up. John is invited into heaven where he's going to be able to give us the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was a great thing when John was able to do that. The Bible says one day heaven's going to open up and Jesus is going to come again. Now that's when heaven opens that time, it's not going to be good for those that are not children of God. Okay? But boy, it's going to be a good thing for the children of God. And so when heaven opens, it's a good thing. This is a powerful thing happening when it says heaven opens. As he was praying, heaven opened up. And it says what else? The other thing that happens, it says, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a physical appearance like a dove. So prayer changes things. We know that. Prayer has a way of getting heaven moving. Heaven opened as he was praying. It says the Holy Spirit moved. The Holy Spirit moved. The Holy Spirit descended down upon Jesus. And God gave us the Holy Spirit coming in that physical appearance of a dove so that people would see and know that that's what was happening, that the third person of the Trinity was descending down upon Jesus in that physical appearance for the world to see. And so his earthly ministry is beginning. And friend, if we're going to have the kind of life and ministry that God wants us to have, you better believe we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit of God in our life. We talked Sunday morning about the fact that when you trust in Jesus for salvation, there's a thing called the baptism of the Spirit. Do you know that's a one-time thing? That's a one-time thing where the Holy Spirit comes to live and to indwell inside of your life. The Bible says we're sealed by the Spirit of God. We can never lose our salvation. I'm so thankful for that. The Bible also teaches us that we can have as much of God as we want. And there's a thing called the filling of the Spirit, the infilling of the Spirit. Okay? And that's something that happens in our life. It's not that the Holy Spirit leaves us. No, the Holy Spirit's always with us. But we can be filled up in the Spirit of God. We can have the fullness of the Spirit of God in us as we yield to Him in obedience, as we seek His face. And that prayer is such an important aspect of that. As we pray, the Spirit of God can fall on us. That's why we pray as a church and say, God, anoint our service tonight. Anoint our service on Sunday morning. God, have your hand on this musician. God, do something through this, because we know that the Spirit of God can come in a powerful way, a fullness of the Spirit. We can experience that. Jesus, throughout his entire life, he had the fullness of the Spirit of God. There was never a time he didn't. And so here he is, and it says the Holy Spirit moves. Once again, we can't divorce it here from the fact that it says as he was praying, heaven opened up. As he was praying, the Holy Spirit descended on him in physical appearance. And then, don't miss this, it says as he was praying, it says, and a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. So here's the third thing that happens. It says the Father speaks. The Father speaks. The Father spoke to his son. There's few things that are probably more encouraging or comforting to us than hearing your father's voice. especially if you're not in trouble, right? Now, that might not be comforting, but now some of you, you know, you remember your father's voice and how you would love to hear his voice one more time comfort you. There's just, you know, God, it's just that father's voice. So encouraging. You know, you had a bad day, and so you called your dad. You just wanted to hear his voice. You wanted to hear that encouragement. You wanted him to lift you up and pick you up, and just the sound of his voice would do that. And I want you to notice something here, and I'm going to show you a difference between Luke and Matthew. I want you to notice, look at it again. It says, a voice came from heaven, and look at what is recorded. It says, you are my beloved son. Whew. How powerful to have the Father say, you are my beloved son. And with you, I am well pleased. Now, I want to show you something a little different. Go to Matthew chapter 3. And here it says in verse 17. It says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Now, did you catch the difference? Both of these things are happening. In one instance here, the people are hearing the voice. Right, the crowd is hearing, the people there, and they're hearing this. They're hearing the Father say, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. He's telling them, hey, Jesus, he's the Messiah. He's my beloved son. I'm well pleased in him. But do you catch the difference between that and what is recorded in Luke? In Luke, the Father's not talking to everyone else. Is he? No. In Luke, the Father is talking to his son. And he's talking to him and he's saying, you are my beloved son. And with you, I am well pleased. And so in one part of this, the Father's voice was communicating to the people. This is. But here in Luke, the Father was communicating with his son, saying, with you, you are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased. Could there be anything more encouraging in the life of Jesus at this moment as he is entering into his earthly ministry, as he knows what lays ahead of him, as he knows what he is entering into, as he thinks about all the ways that people are going to come against him, all the agony that he's going to go through, all the pain and suffering that's going to take place, as he looks ahead to 3 years later when he's going to be in the Garden of Gethsemane and there he'll be praying, God, if there be any other way, may this cup pass from me, as he knows that the sin of the world is going to be placed on his shoulder, and he's looking ahead to that, and he's thinking about all that's going to happen, and he's thinking, can I really go through with this? And the Father says, right here in this moment, just as you and I would love to hear our Father just lift us up when we need that encouragement, and he says, you are my beloved son, and with you I am well pleased. You starting to understand why Jesus prayed so much? Because he has for all eternity had an intimate fellowship with his Father from before time began. And he always will. He was connected and wanted to stay connected and knew how important that would be for him as he was praying. I want to just, and this is, doesn't have so much to do with prayer, but I want to just say this anyways to maybe encourage us. Because as I was studying, this came to my mind, and it God kind of, he convicted me, and I said, okay. And I love it when he does that, right? Hey, you know, some of us in here, we need to be reminded. You know how God loves us and he communicates that love to us like he did to Jesus here? And how good that makes us feel and how much we need that. I'm here to tell you also, your kids need that from you fathers, from me. You know what? They need to be able to, they need to know that they can come to us with anything. They don't need to be afraid. I'm not afraid to go to my Heavenly Father. The throne of grace is open. And he says, come to me with whatever you got. He already knows all my mess. I can't hide it from him. And every time I come to him, it's with arms wide open and grace pouring out. You know, our kids, they need that from us. And we fall short, dads in here, but we need to be striving to lift up our kids, our sons and daughters. Some of them, listen, you need to be able to say, you are my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. I love you. I care for you. I'm so proud of you. I'm pleased by you. God's got a plan for you. I'm with you. I support you. Moms, same thing. Grandparents, you can do that to not only your adult kids, but you can do that to your grandkids. We should encourage our sons and daughters. And so as we think about what is happening here in Jesus' life, we see that this aspect of prayer is so powerful. Understand this. Prayer is intimate time for you and the Lord. Prayer is, that's what Jesus is doing in his life, in his ministry. It's not for show. He is wanting to spend, and he is spending intimate time with his Father, talking to him, and guess what? Hearing back from him. And if you will spend time in that type of prayer, you're going to find that you'll know that God is speaking to you. It's not going to be in some audible voice. But as you yield to him, as you take time to listen, you'll know. You'll hear God's voice. He'll be speaking to you. And you'll experience that joy and that peace and that assurance and that hope that only comes from him. So many people today struggle with depression, struggle with anxiety. There's so much going on in our world. There's so much that's distracting us. We're consumed by this. You say, why do you have that up there? I've told you why. At 7:15, I got to close this thing down. That's how I find out what time it is, right? I mean, we're so distracted. So I ask you again, what's your prayer life like? Do you have time to pray? You better make time to pray. Because it's through that time spent with God that you're going to experience all that goodness that he's bringing into your life. All those worries. Don't hold on to those worries. It's what the devil wants you to do. He knows that if you start bringing that to God, you're going to find peace. So have a prayer life. Follow the example of Jesus. And we're going to look, just for a few weeks, we're going to look at this a little bit through the Gospel of Luke. And I believe we're going to be encouraged by what we can learn from the prayer life of Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you're so good. Lord, we do not deserve your grace and mercy. But yet, God, you freely give it to us. God, I'm amazed that you are the great God. You're the only God. You're high and lifted up. Lord, we're nobodies. You've promised us that your throne of grace is always open. You've invited us into your presence, and that anytime we can come to you in prayer. And you never turn us down. You're never busy. You always welcome us. God, thank you that there's nothing too big and there's nothing too small to bring to you in prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for the life of Jesus. And Lord, help us, just as his disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Because they had seen the impact that prayer had on his life. Lord, help us to be people of prayer. And may we learn from the life, the prayer life of Jesus through this study. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. We're dismissed.